0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers knock back an initial offer from Trabzonspor for James Tavernier. Casper Schmeichel completes his move to Celtic and St Mirren find out their European opponent. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Roger Hanna.
Yeah, we're edging closer to the proper stuff starting again, Andrew. I'm a little bit relieved. The Rangers have knocked back that initial bid.
I'll tell you what, Roger, we'll try and get your mic working because I'm not sure it is at the moment. I can't hear you properly. One of the producers can let me know. But in the meantime, while we try and get your microphone working, give us a call, 0141 951 1025, because there are a lot of things to get our teeth into tonight. Rangers fans, the big question for you is, do you want to see James Tavernier stay at Rangers, or do you think it's time for him to move on? It looks as if Trabzonspor have had an initial bid rejected for the right back. It remains to be seen whether they're going to come back in for him. Celtic fans, I'm sure you've got some thoughts on the signing of Casper Schmeichel as well. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. I think we've got you back, Roger.
Oh, that sounds better. I'm just going to say, I think it's a relief for everyone at Super Scoreboard that that bid has been turned down, because if James Tavernier leaves Scottish football, what are 50% of the Rangers fans and 75% of the Celtic fans going to phone in about?
I think we had this issue as well with Alfredo Morelos at one point. There's always just seems to be a hot topic or a certain player that is the hot topic in Scottish football. It goes through spells. James Tavernier has certainly been that for a lot of the time in his 9 seasons at Rangers. Mm. He has been a player that has been discussed at length with various topics. Rangers fans, he's been a favourite of at times. He's been certainly not a favourite at times as well. So interested to see what Rangers fans are making of these latest developments.
Very much so. And it's also been interesting all week to hear what Rangers fans were making of Philip Clement's remarks in the Netherlands last week, that everyone apart from Jack Butland, so that includes Tavernier, were indeed for sale, and he would need to offload players before he could bring more in.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. I'm sure you don't need any extra encouragement to phone in, but just in case you do, all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've been giving away tickets to the Scottish Sun Ladies Night at Ayr Racecourse. It's happening on Saturday, the 10th of August. Gates open at 4 o'clock. It kicks off just after 6 with the last race at 8:45. There's also 3 hours of live music after the final race. Over £1,000 worth of prizes up for grabs as well at the Style Awards on the night, including a £500 voucher for Thorn Travel. We've already had 4 winners this week, and since it's Friday, we've got something a wee bit extra to chuck in as well. Tonight only, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Legends Lounge. So that means it's admission, a race card, private marquee facility with its own bar as well. Sounds good. You'll get a drink on arrival as well, a seat for all the races. So for your chance to win, all you need to do is give us a call, get on air, and make a point tonight. At the end of the show, we'll draw a name out the hat, and the winner will be heading off to Ayr Racecourse on the 10th of August. So give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025, for your chance to get along to the Scottish Sun Ladies Night. But as I say, I think there will be a few interested parties in this discussion about James Tavernier, because he's had a long career with Rangers. As we mentioned, there has been a lot of debate about his time at Rangers. There have already been quite a few experienced faces that have exited Ibrox this summer. John Lundstrom is one of them. Borna Barisic another. Both have actually gone to Trabzonspor. Ryan Jack is another as well. Do you think this is the summer that James Tavernier exits Rangers?
It's beginning to look that way, Andrew. Yeah, and I think Philip Clement now, he's had half a season and more to assess what's there. Started really well, won the League Cup, finished really poorly, fell apart in the league title race, lost the Scottish Cup final to Celtic. And I get the impression now Clement's just decided, right, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to have any of these guys who have been here for a while. He let go Barisic, Lundstrom, Roof, McLaughlin, Jack. He lost all the loan players back to their parent clubs, including the likes of Abdallah Seema, who he'd love to get back, I think. And I think now, when he realises that the financial situation, I think he is willing to let go the Taverniers, the Goldsons, the Cantwells, the Dessers, and get some money in so that he can really build a team in his image. And like all managers, Andrew, if you lose with your own players, then, you know, you just hold your hands up. Managers don't like to lose with other people's players.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. That's the number that Scott, a Rangers fan, has dialed. Scott, what are you making of it all?
The James Tavernier situation. I've been a big fan of Tavernier. Probably in the last year or two, though, his time's running out. I think it's time for him to move on. If you can get a decent offer, I'll need to take the money. He's getting a getting a bit stale now. I know we keep going on about his record, scoring goals and all that, but we can't count on that now. And I think if he stayed, it'd just be a mistake, and you'd find that out in the first couple of months. Definitely time for him to move on. Needs change. Rangers need change.
Has James Tavernier changed? Have you seen a change in him? No, Scott says over the last couple of seasons. No, is there an obvious change in there?
I'm not sure there is. James Tavernier is the player he's always been. For a right back, he's not great defensively, but for a right back, his numbers going forward are ridiculous. I think he's scored something like 125 goals and 129 assists. It's ludicrous for a right back. There was a season he was the top scorer in the Europa League. It's incredible. But if he was a good defender, he wouldn't be at Rangers. He'd be playing in a far bigger league, Andrew. So I tend to agree with Scott. I think, you know, James Tavernier will be 33 years of age in October. If Rangers don't cash in and get some money off him now, they never will, because this time next year he'll be coming out of contract, or if he plays enough games, another year of his deal kicks in, and at 34 or 35 Rangers won't get a coin for him. So I tend to think this is the summer. It probably makes sense for all parties for him to move on.
Philip Clement has already signposted that, you know, he wants to make the team his own. He wants to make changes this summer, revamp the squad.
Yeah.
This would be the biggest change, though, wouldn't it? A guy who has been a stalwart for 9 seasons, who's been the Rangers captain, who has made a massive contribution in every single season. This would be the biggest move of the summer,
and
wouldn't it?
And it would, simply because of what James Tavernier has done. He has broken all of these records. He's been there such a long time. He has led Rangers to a European final. He has won every domestic honour. He has been one of the most high-profile players in Scottish football for a decade. So when players of that high profile move on, it is a big thing. You know, people do have opinions on it. There's Scott phoning in, and we may well get Rangers fans later on the show, Andrew, saying, no, we don't want him to go, we want him to stay. So it is a big thing. It would be a landmark decision in Philip Clement's reign. He's got Dujon Sterling there, who could slot in at right back, and it might give him money to bolster areas of the team that he still thinks need bolstered. You know, will he sign a more experienced centre-half? With Nico Raskin's injury, will he sign another central midfielder? Does he still feel he needs another wide man? I think he might need them all.
Scott, how tough do you feel James Tavernier would be to replace if he was to leave this summer?
Obviously, it'd be tough, and we'll never know that till it happens. But I think, as you said in the panel there, Sterling's the man to come in and take his place. He's had a year at Ibrox now and played at pretty much every position except for centre forward and goalkeeper. And I think he knows what it means now. And I think if you give him that set of position, he offered good money. We can't refuse it. Take the money, move on, and wish Tavernier all the best. And then Sterling will be the next couple of years absolutely right back.
Is that where you would see it going, Roger? Because Dujon Sterling initially came in as a right back, but has pretty much, as Scott said, played absolutely everywhere for Rangers. Has looked better in some positions, maybe not so good in other positions. There was a time last season where he played in central midfield and it looked as if that might be his future at Rangers. I think he even said in a pre-match interview himself once that he maybe even saw him as a central midfielder now after a few games there. But could you see him going back to that right-back role and being Rangers' starting right-back if James Tavernier leaves?
Definitely, because it just makes sense. I think Rangers have other options at the minute in central midfield. You know, Diamande has done reasonably well. Conor Barron's come in. Raskin's still there. As I say, wouldn't surprise me if Clement wanted to sign another one in there, but it would make sense for Sterling to go back out there. I think he's got all the physical attributes. Very possibly a better defender than James Tavernier. I don't think he's going to have 250 goal involvements in his time at Rangers, but it might help stiffen up a defence that looked quite porous in the closing weeks of last season.
Realistically, Scott, what type of fee should Rangers be looking for, holding out for James Tavernier?
Well, am I right in saying he's only got a year left his contract?
Yeah,
right?
I think so, Scott, yeah.
Realistically, a year, then, I don't know, it's hard to say, but I think we could possibly get 4 million for him, maybe.
Do you see that as realistic,
you know, so
Roger?
I was thinking about that earlier on, and I haven't seen any sort of fee quoted. Nowadays, I don't really know. What do you pay for a guy turning 33 with a year left in his deal? I would have thought $4 million would probably be toward the upper end of what they might be able to hold out for. It'd be interesting to know what the offer from Trabzonspor was today that's been rejected. And I'll also be interested to see what Trabzonspor do next, because the talk coming out of Turkey tonight is they're already looking at another right back from Boavista as a possible alternative to James Tavernier.
If not Trabzonspor, then would you still expect that this is the window that James Tavernier departs?
Yeah, I mean, people were saying last night Giovanni van Bronckhorst, the former Rangers manager now, Besiktas, was keeping an eye on things. I think there'll be teams in the English Championship would keep an eye on things. They're slightly behind the Scottish teams in their preparation, and also slightly behind in terms of building their squads again for next season. So wouldn't at all surprise me if it was English interest in taking James back down the road.
Is this one of the better ways for Rangers to raise funds this summer, Scott? Philip Clement's already come out and said that they need to sell before they can buy. So if he's looking to bring in new players that will cost a fee, is James Tavernier going to have to be one of the players that goes out the door?
Yeah, absolutely. As Clement said, if we need the money, we need to sell. And I think right now, selling, even though he's only got a year contract, probably is one of our biggest assets when we look through the team. We're not going to buy a right back. We're not going to go and buy a right back because we've got one there that can fill his place. Probably need the money in another place, as Roger says, centre half, etc. Yeah.
Is it a case of Rangers having to not rip up and start again? But for years, a lot of Rangers managers have essentially found out that one of the best ways to attack is going through James Tavernier, whether it is him stealing in at the back post, which we've seen in big European games, whether it's him delivering crosses, set pieces as well. How tough is it going to be to replace those goals and assists deliveries?
It's going to be impossible.
Not from right back, though, essentially. Is it a case of changing the system to try and get other players in to replace
I think it might well be, Andrew. Yeah, they'll never get another right back who's going to provide numbers like that, so don't even try and replicate that. I think you'll probably see slight tweaks to the system, whether it's 4-3-3, whether it's 4-2-3-1, you know, in the coming season. I don't think Rangers are finished, far from it, in the transfer market. I think they will try and accelerate departures, maybe as many as 4 or 5. You know, you might see them all go. Tavernier, Goldson, Cantwell, Dessers, there might be more. Yanis Hadji, you know, could leave for money as well. And then I think before the window closes at the tail end of next month, so he's got a bit of time, I think Philip Clement will want as many back in. He will want to absolutely revitalise this squad, because as we're sitting here today in the middle of July, it actually looks weaker than the squad that lost the league in the cup at the end of last season.
Could there still be more experience? On you go, Scott.
I'm saying the team definitely needs that refresh. It's getting...
Yeah.
As I say, you point out, I don't know what's going on with Cantwell. I think it's more to do with, I would probably say, off the park, with social media stuff, etc., and get involved with stuff that he shouldn't be. But I like to say, Raskin, I don't think, you've seen the news through the season there, he's not had much. I know he's had the injuries, but I don't think Clement fancies him. I'd like to see Goldson definitely go. I just think they need a refresh. And do you know what? I don't mind, even if it takes us another year, because I don't see us going anywhere near Celtic next year, and that's the truth. I don't think right now, to what I've seen, we've got the quality. We've brought a lot of young boys in with no experience. We need experienced winners, which we don't have. Get a new team in. Even if it takes a year or two, I don't mind waiting to then, but we need it refreshed, absolutely.
Do you think Philip Clement is capable of doing that in this window, Scott? Or do you feel it's going to be a bit of time before Rangers can do that?
No, it's going to be a bad time. He's not going to bring in a team, and I don't expect us to win the league at all next year. I heard people on last night saying they think they'll be lucky finishing third. Don't believe that. We'll still finish second next year, and I don't mind that as long as we build a team, and I definitely would give Clement the time. If there's any problems that I've still got is the board. I'm fed up with sacking managers. Sack the board. I keep Clement. Yep.
Well, thank you to Scott. Let's stick with the phones. Ross is a Rangers fan in Mauchline. Ross, what are you thinking on the James Tavernier situation? Have we got you, Ross?
Let's get rid of Tavernier, and he's absolutely hopeless.
Hopeless, I mean, Ross?
I mean, he just can't. He doesn't play football. I mean, he's a big greedy boy. We just really need to get rid of him. Give him $5 million. Let's get rid of him.
In what way would you say he's greedy? I mean, first of all, Ross, if you say you don't rate him at all, and he's greedy, and he doesn't offer anything, why would any team bid $5 million for him?
He's just greedy. Honestly, just.
In what sense is he greedy?
He's so bold. I mean, all the players shout, Jimmy Logan in the ball, he never does.
He's got quite a lot of assists over the years, 100 odd assists. It's not really the sign of a greedy player.
Listen, personally speaking, if you're give me a sheet of paper and write down Rangers' problems at the minute, James Tavernier would be well down that list of problems, Andrew. There are players that I would ship out of Ibrox long before I would ship James Tavernier out the door. But the reality of the situation is other teams are interested in James Tavernier. Other teams are willing to pay money for James Tavernier. And I think he's reached the stage in his career and his Rangers contract where it almost makes sense for both parties for a deal to be done, because Philip Clement has gone public in his need for money to come in for transfers. I think Philip Clement would rather sell Todd Cantwell today, but they're not exactly banging his door down to get it, Cantwell, at the minute.
Does the potential departure of James Tavernier, would that be, you know, another sign of the reset that Philip Clement is trying to do this summer, Ross? And do you feel that, are you quite confident he'll be able to do it?
Well, hopefully. I mean, look at the Mother's game, we've got Man United, 24 chances against Man United.
Yeah, we will see. Of course, they play Manchester United at Murrayfield. I don't think it will be a full Manchester United team that will be travelling to that game in Edinburgh, because they'll have plenty of players time off due to the Copa America and due to the Euros as well. Hard to judge teams on that, but it certainly will be interesting to see if James Tavernier is anywhere near the Rangers squad for tomorrow. You would suggest not.
I'd be very surprised to see him tomorrow. He's had a wee knock anyway, hasn't played in any of the games so far. And if you're in the midst of transfer negotiations, whether it's with Trabzonspor or whoever else, why would you put him into a friendly at Murrayfield, risking, you know, a recurrence of whatever the minor knock was?
There had been reports from Turkey that James Tavernier had agreed personal terms with Trabzonspor, agreed, I think it was a two-year deal with the option of a third. If those are to be believed, then it seems as if James Tavernier is willing to have that move away from Rangers this summer as well. It seems as if it's a sort of natural parting of the ways, not just for Rangers, but for James Tavernier as well.
You can imagine, and I think Conor Goldson's probably in the same boat as well. You know, there's big interest from Birmingham City in Conor Goldson. And, you know, I think if the clubs could do deals, I don't think the players would, you know, be difficult to deal with at all. I think, you know, both players have been there for quite a period of time. Tavernier, 9 years. I think Goldson's been there 6 years now. They've been good servants. They've done well for Rangers. I think, you know, history will probably smile on the two of them and their contribution. They played in a European final for Rangers.
James Tavernier's in the Rangers Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but I get the feeling, and this is partly because of what Philip Clement has said, I get the feeling this is probably the summer for them to go and for Rangers just to try and kick on beyond them.
Well, thank you to Ross. He and Scott are in the hat for a pair of tickets to win, a potential pair of tickets to the Scottish Sun Ladies Night at Ayr Racecourse on Saturday, the 10th of August, to be in the hat as well. All you need to do is phone in tonight, get on air and make a point. I'm sure there is still plenty to talk about on that subject. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, brought to you by UK Debt Expert. They've helped over 250,000 people in the UK deal with debt. That's about five times the capacity of Hampden, 45,000 of which are right here in Scotland. They understand debt and the reasons behind it. That means you're guaranteed practical advice and an understanding shoulder to lean on. They also know that everyone's financial situation is unique, so you'll receive personalised advice tailored to your individual circumstances. If you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Head over to ukdebtexpert.co.uk for more information. Remember, give us a call, 0141 951 1025. If you get on air tonight and you make a point, you will be in the hat to win a pair of tickets to the Scottish Sun Ladies Night at Ayr Racecourse next month. Next up is Mike, who's a Rangers fan in Edinburgh. First of all, Mike, what do you make of the news today that Trabzonspor, other clubs as well, interested in James Tavernier? Looks as if it may well be the end of his Rangers career.
Hey, hi, Andrew. Hi, Roger. Thanks
for
the call. I've been on your show a few times now, Andrew, as I said, your other colleague. I think it's James Tavernier served us well. What he's been with the club, 9 years now? I think it's I think his time's up, but I would get rid of other people before him. And I would say we're carrying too much dead weight. So, I mean, I've got it right for Clonmel, empty jersey. I'd give Yannis Arge another chance, but I don't think he fits Colin's style of play. What was the fee, Andrew? What did the Trabzons work? What did they bid for Rangers?
That's what we were saying earlier. There's not really been too many reports, Roger, on exactly what the fee is. A previous caller said that they'd take around $4 million for him. Is that roughly in the ballpark, or is it quite hard to estimate at the moment,
Roger? It's very hard to estimate because you don't know what they have offered. My own feeling is, if they had offered £4 million, it would be halfway to Trabzon by now. I think that's more than generous for a guy going into the final year of his deal who's almost 33 years of age. I think Rangers would have taken something like that. I agree with everything Mike says. I don't think Rangers will progress this season with Todd Cantwell, with Scott Wright. I doubt they'll progress with Cyril Dessers. They won't progress with Sam Lammers. There are others there who have had ample opportunity and haven't taken that opportunity. Some have been held back by injury, Tom Lawrence, but you know, he still hasn't contributed the way Rangers had hoped when he signed for the club. So there are a lot of players there that Philip Clement would gladly move out for money. Tavernier and Goldson among them. I think it'll be a busy 6 weeks between now and the end of the window for Rangers.
Mike makes a good point about wages as well, because there are a lot of players at Rangers at the moment who some supporters and maybe Philip Clement will feel aren't going to play a huge part next season, or they feel they can move on that will be on a big wage, whether it's because they were brought in for a big fee, whether it's because they've been at the club a long time and have had various contract extensions and renewals. If you're trying to revamp, rebuild a squad, that will be valuable to Philip Clement to try and get some of these guys off the wage bill. He's already done it with some of them, the likes of John Lundstrom, the likes of Ryan Jack, but do you expect that he'll be doing or trying to do that with quite a few more?
And they should maybe have done this earlier. You know, the player trading model that you hear teams talking about, Rangers haven't been very successful with it in recent years. They should have sold Alfredo Morelos, that you spoke about, long before his contract was ever up. They should have sold Ryan Kent long before his contract was ever up. Looking back now, John Lundstrom and Borna Barisic should have been sold a year ago for money rather than allowed to go out the door for nothing this summer too, ironically, Trabzonspor, Andrew. So, you know, the ones who stay, Tavernier will be in good money. He's had contract extensions. Goldson as well signed a 4-year deal 2 seasons ago, if you remember, and got a fair lift on that, you might say. So Rangers need to be cuter in dealing with contracts. If players get to the last year, as Tavernier now is, they need to be sold.
How tough a job does Philip Clement and the Rangers have, Mike, between now and the end of the transfer window to get the right players out the door and the right players in?
I think it's hamstrung, Andrew. I actually think he's been conned by the board. I mean, don't get me started on the whole stadium construction shambles. I actually think the board are actually treating the fans with contempt. And I think some fans have got their head buried in the stands. And I take exception with a column that Barry Ferguson done. He just talks some, he waffles some nonsense at the best of times. But fans have every entitlement to actually have a moan, especially if they're pumping their money into the club. I think Clement's probably identified some players he wants to bring in. But I think there's about 6 or 7 players. I mean, I get rid of Goldson, get rid of Wright, I don't know if McLaughlin's still there.
No, he was one of the ones that was free at the end of last season.
Right, okay. And I'll probably look at John Suter. I don't know, he's got an error in him. I don't know, but I mean, I'm quite excited with Conor Barn coming in. But the fact, I mean, the club is squabbling about a nominal compensation payment for Conor Barron. I don't think the finances are good at the club just now, Andrew. I just think that the way the club's been run has been amateurish. James Bisgrove's left the club in an absolute mess. I just think
that, Roger, would there have been a few eyebrows raised at Philip Clement's comments when he was in the Netherlands and he said that essentially the situation he's in with transfers and having to sell before he can buy was not what he expected to be when he came in on October?
Well, listen, he said it to a handful of print journalists in the Netherlands, including my colleague at the Scottish Sun, Andy Devlin, and it was in the papers last weekend. If Philip Clement had said those words live on Super Scoreboard after a game on a Saturday night and the Rangers fans had heard them live, this phone-in would have been chock-a-block for a fortnight. These were dynamite quotes from Philip Clement. He was saying he has no money, he has to sell before he can buy. He was saying that everyone is for sale with the exception of the goalkeeper, Jack Butland. He was saying the squad, as it stands just now, won't be able to compete in the Champions League qualifiers. Now, the draw's on Monday. They won't be playing their home games at Ibrox, but playing home games at Hampden, which is a disadvantage as well. He was saying that what he was told in October when he arrived at the club isn't necessarily what he's found his situation to be in the intervening 9 months. These were dynamite quotes, and I don't think we have heard the last of that kind of quote from Philip Clement, because if things go badly for Rangers at the start of the season, I think there's going to be real problems at the football club. They're not at Ibrox. The chairman said he can't say when they'll be back at Ibrox. Their first five away games, you could argue that they're all away games, Andrew. The first five old-fashioned away games, I think, are at Tynecastle, Celtic Park, Pittodrie Rugby Park and Tannadice. Not a particularly enticing run of games. It could be difficult if Philip Clement doesn't get players in that he thinks can enhance the squad.
There is still time to go in the transfer window, Mike, but those comments from Philip Clement, what does that do for your confidence levels going into this season?
I'm going to concede the lead just now. I mean, the way things stand at the moment.
Maybe the earliest we've ever had on Clyde on Super Scoreboard.
No, Andrew, I'm being absolutely honest with you. I'm one of the most critical Rangers fans, phone and justifiable. So, you know, the results speak for themselves. I'm just sick of the likes of talking about run their mouth in the press about how well they're going to do with the league. Just, you know, you never hear any Celtic players do that.
This is part of the problem, though, Mike. Now, it sounds as if you understand the dynamic in the west of Scotland and how these things work. If you are going to be successful as a chairman, as a manager, as a player with Rangers or Celtic, you need to understand the landscape. You need to understand the unique pressures of operating in football in Glasgow in the west of Scotland. I'm afraid Todd Cantwell, however long he's been at Rangers, doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. He has had plenty of advice. I'm quite sure quite a bit of it's come from Philip Clement about his social media activities and his extracurricular stuff and the way he conducts himself when he's substituted, sometimes the way he conducts himself when he's on the pitch, and he doesn't get it. And you find that players who don't get it tend not to be of any use to Rangers or Celtic.
It seems quite clear from Philip Clement's comments, maybe actions this summer, that Todd Cantwell isn't part of his plans, yeah. Hasn't featured in pre-season, yeah. Was asked about him and said it's small things with Todd, wasn't necessarily referencing any injury or fitness problems, left him out of a game against Celtic, yeah, late in the campaign, yeah, saying that it wasn't the game for him. They've clearly, you know, have a bit of a fractious relationship.
Yeah.
How hard will it be to move him on? Because when there is that situation ongoing, he will be on a decent wage. You would expect Rangers would want a fee for him as well.
Listen, his agent's trying to move him on to fictitious Twitter accounts, so that tells you that they are trying to get him out of Rangers. Quite simply, he's not Philip Clement's type of player. I don't think he's a Rangers type of player either. Whether they need to let him go to, you know, find a club himself and, you know, take a hit and a potential fee and save the wages, That might be the best way out. Whether they can get him out on loan and get somebody to pay his wages for a season-long loan in the English Championship or League One or something, I don't know. But I don't think he's going to feature a lot under Philip Clement.
Well, thank you to Mike. Let's hear from Sean, who's a Rangers fan in Garthamlet. Sean?
Hi there, guys. My problem is I agree with some of the calls and some people's views. See, if Rangers don't qualify for the Champions League, we've got to have no money. We'll probably spend maybe 2-3 million. To be honest, I actually worry fans, I know. I actually think if Rangers don't qualify for the Champions League, we can forget next season. The league's already over. Celtic are champions 25-26. And I actually think, see, if we don't get into the Champions League, I think Clement will walk, because he's not going to embarrass himself as a up-and-coming manager. The state of that board, and I'm actually worried fans are actually calling for the board to actually all resign it's in shocking the way Rangers fans have been treated under this board, with all the Hams and stuff, Murrayfield and now this. It's every single year we need to rebuild. It's getting a joke now. We only won the league once, and that was a COVID year. It's time to go up the full board.
I mean, you can really feel the negativity from quite a few Rangers fans tonight. It seems to be sort of a myriad of things that have led to that as well. Aye. The Ibrox situation is a big one. The lack of funds there seems to be in the transfer window. Maybe even the frustration of what the money has been spent on so far, that it's not maybe been the experienced players to replace ones that look to be on their way out.
Well, Sean's intimated there a concern that Philippe Clement might walk away from the club. Now, for argument's sake, say Philippe Clement does walk away from the club in October or November, Sean. That's a manager going in autumn 2024. Manager went in autumn 2023, autumn 2022, and autumn 2021. Eventually, you look at that pattern and you say, it's maybe not the fault of the managers. You know, it's maybe the fault of the people that the managers are having to operate under. If I was a Rangers fan, Sean, I would share your concerns at the way the club is being run at the minute. The fact that the board of directors cannot tell Rangers supporters when they're getting back into their own stadium must be a source of great concern for the support. The quotes from the manager last weekend must be a source of great concern for the Rangers support. And if results were to start poorly this incoming season, and we've already said, you know, before, I think the first weekend of September, Rangers need to go to Tynecastle, they need to go to Celtic Park, they've got a Champions League qualifier, they would then have a second round of European qualifiers, be it Champions League or Europa. It's a huge start. Rangers can't allow poor results to follow hastily onto the back of Philippe Clement's comments and the stadium debacle.
How damaging could a lack of Champions League football be for Rangers
huge,
as well?
Absolutely huge. I mean, nobody will hide away from that. The financial disparity between the Champions League and the Europa League is significant in its own right, Andrew. But if Rangers were to miss out on the Champions League money in a season when Celtic had guaranteed it, and not only are they guaranteed it, but in this new look league, you get 8 games, 4 on your own pitch, it would be enormous for Celtic if they were the only team in the Champions League and Rangers were to miss out.
Well, thank you to Sean. Still time to get your calls in, 01419511025. And while you do that, I'll tell you about this. So all this week, we've been building up to the last winner on Make Me A Winner. This afternoon, it was Tom who was the final person to get the call, and he picked up the phone and won £200,000. He said he's going to take his family on holiday, then decide what to do with the rest of the money. The winning isn't done though, as on Monday morning we're launching the cash register. It'll be 6 weeks of prizes that could literally change your life in a matter of seconds. We want you to have the best summer of your life by winning on the cash register. So to get the details you need, listen into Monday's Bowie at Breakfast with George and Cassie.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Been a very busy night on the phones with the news that James Tavernier could be set to leave Rangers. It looks as if a bid has been rejected by, or from, certainly a bid from Trabzonspor for the right back, but certainly interest in the player. Looks as if it could be his final season at Rangers, or that he's had his final season at Rangers, I should say. Let's stick with the phones. John is a Rangers fan in Garthamlock. What are you making of it all, John?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Roger.
Hi, John.
Hello.
I'm the exception to the rule tonight, according to your first four callers. I don't think things are really that as serious as what they're making out. Granted, the stadium thing is absolutely horrendous. But you've got to remember, Clement's got some good players there. He's got Cortez coming back, he's got Danilo, he's got some fabulous midfield players. And see the end of the season, because of a couple of VAR dodgy decisions, and granted, fizzled out at the end of the season. We had Celtic in the ropes a couple of times, and that was with Beale's players. So I don't think things are that bad.
Do you feel that the business that Philip Clement has already done this summer, the business that he's yet to do, Rangers still have a good chance of competing for the title this season?
I don't think it's great what he's done. I'll put my hands up for that. I don't think it's great. If he had more money, it'd be better. But I don't think it's the end of the world, the way the last four callers are putting it. I think they've just, well, the way they're talking, just put a big paddle open the gate and just let us know, play it off.
Well, they've more or less done that at Ibrox for the time being, John.
Well, of course we're going to put the paddle open at Ibrox for the time being. But things aren't as bad as that, Roger.
Well, listen, when you're off the phone to us, John, phone Philip Clement and tell him, because the remarks, what he said last weekend, for me, were the most telling thing. You know, listen, they're not playing at Ibrox, they're going to play at Hampden. You would think Rangers would have the ability in their team to win most of their games at Hampden. These first two home games, home to Motherwell, home to Ross County in the league, isn't it, Andrew? You would think Rangers at Hampden should win. If it was a cup semi-final at Hampden, you would back Rangers to win those two games. But it's the comments from your manager, John, that would worry me. The fact that he's saying there is no money for players, he has to sell before he can buy. It's not the situation he was told he was walking into when he came in October. He'd love to get Seymour back, but he doesn't have the money. He doesn't believe the squad's ready for the Champions League. So it's not just the previous four callers who have been, you know, doom and gloom. The manager was pretty gloomy last weekend as well.
You know, as a newspaper man and as a Rangers supporters, respect a man that comes out and tells you the truth, and you know exactly where you stand with him. And he's sending a message to the board, but at the same time, he's saying, look, I need more money here. So they need to come across as well. I respect Clement, his honesty, because he could have quite easily just dummied up and said nothing.
He is telling truth, John, but the truths he's telling, do they not concern you in any way? Are you still feeling confident going into the new season?
It concerns every single Rangers supporter. But I'll tell you what would concern us more, if he was lying to us. And the man's no doing that. He's no lying to us. He's telling us the truth. He's telling us how it is. But I'll tell you this much, it's no as much doom and gloom as some of your people are trying to make out.
Was Philip Clement sending a message to the board?
Oh, listen, partially, of course he was. Of course he was, because he wants it out there that he's not getting the money that he feels he needs. He wants it out there that he likes players out the door and in the door. He wants it out there that he doesn't believe the squad he's got at the minute, which is mainly Michael Beale's or Giovanni Van Bronckhorst or even Steven Gerrard's players. He doesn't believe they can currently compete in the Champions League. So quite clearly, you know, he knows the board will listen to those words. But is the board in a position to act on that, Andrew? Have they got, you know, extra money hidden away in a cupboard for, you know, a managerial emergency to bring players in to keep the manager sweet? It's interesting. I know the point John made, but towards the end of last season, Rangers didn't keep pace with Celtic. They fell away in the league and they lost the Scottish Cup final to Celtic. Celtic's squad replaced one 37-year-old goalie with another. They don't have Vida, they don't have Bernardo, albeit they might come back. To me, the Rangers squad just now looks weaker than it did last season, which to me looked weaker than it was the previous season when they had just played in a European final. Rangers need investment. They need better players, because if you were to sit here with a pen and a bit of paper and write out, when everyone's fit, Celtic's best 11 and Rangers' best 11 here today, Celtic would win the game.
John, on James Tavernier, is he a player you want to see stay at the club? Is he a player that you think it's time to move on?
No, I think the criticism of Tavernier is over the top as well for what he's actually put into the club. You couldn't have paid good money to get a right back like that just now. And I think it's over the top of it, saying if we get money for him, obviously we've got to take it, the position we're in.
I think it does sometimes get lost when a player has been at a club for so long and maybe the end of their spell maybe wasn't quite what their highlights were. Yeah. But James Tavernier has been, over the 9 years, a terrific servant for Rangers. Hasn't won the number of trophies that Rangers fans would have wanted him to win, but has done a lot of good things.
But he came in, Rangers won the championship. So he has done, personally speaking, he's done exceptionally well. His numbers are fantastic. He's in the Rangers Hall of Fame. He's captained Rangers in a European final. History as we said earlier, will smile on James Tavernier and his spell at Rangers. But I just think, from everyone's point of view, we've probably reached the moment when it's time for James Tavernier and Rangers to go in opposite directions.
How much work does Philip Clement have left to do over the next month and a bit, John, in the transfer window?
Oh, he's got a massive amount of work to do. But can I just say this before I go? For a man that led Rangers into a European final, and for Celtic to have so much Champions League money, and Rangers only being in the Europa Cup, I thought the man done tremendously well with the resources that they had. And I'm talking about the Rangers managers at the time, Van Bronckhorst and company. I thought they'd done exceptionally well, considering the amount of money Celtic had, and couldn't they do nothing in Europe?
Well, thank you to John. I think that's probably all we've got time for on the phones. Another couple of topics I wanted to touch on. Roger, we got the confirmation after last night's show. We knew it was all coming, that Kasper Schmeichel has signed initially a one-year deal with Celtic. They, of course, brought in Vojami Sinisalo as well. Our goalkeeping options are sorted now. What do you make of just the overall piece of business of the two goalkeepers coming in?
Well, listen, Schmeichel performed well at the Euros, didn't he? You know what you're getting with Kasper Schmeichel. He's won an English Premier League. He has however many caps for Denmark. By all accounts, he played well club football last season as well. He's only signed a 12-month deal, and I think the idea will be for Schmeichel to play, for Sinisalo to get bits and bobs of action, and then for the young Finn to come in and become the number one next summer. You saw what he could do when he came on for Finland against Scotland at Hampden before the Euros. Had a season seeing him at United. He's going to be a top quality goalkeeper.
Because Kasper Schmeichel is 37 years old, is there any concern there about his age coming in at the age that Joe Hart's leaving, or the fact that you look at what he's done recently, played a full season for Anderlecht, was at the Euros with Denmark?
Listen, Craig Gordon was still playing at a high level at 41 last season, Andrew. So Kasper Schmeichel at 37, you would honestly, you'd have no concerns at all.
Where does Celtic's transfer business go now over the next few days? They're obviously over in America. Are the obvious ones Ida and Bernardo? Is the Ida deal looking harder now with comments from the Norwich boss?
We're touching, you know, Norwich are a little bit behind. They don't start the season as early as we do up here. The Norwich board and the Norwich manager are saying the things you would expect them to say. Come the closure of the window at the end of next month, I would still think Paulo Bernardo and Adam Ida will be Celtic players. And it wouldn't surprise me if there was another left back in the building, and you can't imagine Celtic can get through a window without signing that winger, can you?
Wouldn't have thought so.
Never.
Let's take a look at some of the Premier Sports Cup fixtures tomorrow as well. More competitive action for us. What stands out to you? Some of the ones I'm looking at: Clyde against Motherwell. Looks like an interesting one. Motherwell needing to bounce back from that draw against Montrose. I think one a few people will have eyes on is maybe East Kilbride against Aberdeen after an 8-0 defeat to Airdrie.
Yeah, and listen, Mick Kennedy's last meeting with Aberdeen was that great Scottish Cup win for Darvel 18 months ago. His pre-match rousing team talk, his soldiers of love down there, they beat Aberdeen. There are still some Aberdeen players who will remember that. They will want to get down to Kay Park tomorrow afternoon and right what they will perceive to be a few wrongs. Duke is still AWOL, but I think Bojan Miovski is supposed to play tomorrow. And having seen Aberdeen win easily at Queen of the South last Saturday, I would expect Aberdeen to win.
Hibs away to Celtic Hearts. They'll be looking to continue that good form that they've had under David Gray. 10 goals in two games.
Absolutely fantastic start from David Gray. He couldn't have asked for any more. 5 goals in both his opening games against Elgin and against Queen's Park. They will win at Celtic Hearts tomorrow.
And St Mirren have found out their Europa Conference League opponents, Valour of Iceland, to maybe a bit of a shock victory. 4-0 it was against their Albanian opponents, but that'll be an exciting one for St Mirren fans.
Stephen Robinson was up in Iceland for the first leg last week. I think he'll prefer to go to Iceland in the searing heat of Albania at this time of year. St Mirren will be favourites, but McMenamin injured, Kilty injured, Bolton no longer at the club. They'll need to trade warily.
Well, thank you very much for listening in tonight. I shall mention that congratulations to Scott in Auchinloch, who has won the tickets to the Scottish Sun Ladies Night on the 10th of August. So enjoy that. I will be back on Monday night from 6 o'clock. I'm sure plenty will happen over the weekend as well. I'm sure that a lot of the topics tonight will continue to be discussed across next week as well. Remember, if you want to catch up on the show, you can listen anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch the whole thing back on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter by searching Clyde 1 SSB. The perfect way to get your weekend started tonight, kicking up with the GBX with George Bowie next.